Welcome to the Decker Report with Ed Decker, author, researcher, founder, and president of Saints Alive. Join Ed as he discusses world events from a biblical perspective, bringing reason to unreasonable times.
Well, here we are, back again, bringing reason, hopefully, to unreasonable times. And I want to go into some stuff today that should be extremely interesting to you. You know what? We have, obviously, you know, this is a beginning work, and we haven't got everything all the ducks lined up, and here and there little problems peep up. But, you know, today is a special day, because today will be the first day that we'll be using all the new equipment that we just installed so that we can interview people online on live interviews. And so we're excited. And today we're going to have Carol Matriciana, who is a cult expert and an expert in the emergent church movements and things like that in the country. We're looking forward to that interview. But I want to talk a little bit about the emergent church, not necessarily the emergent Christian church, which is, you know, all over the country today, but I want to talk about the emergent Mormon church. I've been getting emails from all over the country about Mormon leaders, apostles, and high-level Mormon officials showing up at evangelical churches and making arrangements to sit down and meet with the key evangelical leaders in each of the major communities in the United States. I talked with the pastor who had that great opportunity in Seattle recently, and while he understands and knows all the ins and outs of Mormonism, he said that the apostle who visited him was so sweet and talked about how Mormons and Orthodox Christianity really are one and the same, and that we should love one another, and we should not look at the differences, but we should look at the things we hold as similar. And he, of course, talked about the Mormons loving Jesus. The pastor knew that the Jesus of Mormonism is a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible, but trying to be kind, he gently told the man that there were irreconcilable differences between Mormon doctrine and true Christian doctrine. And while he enjoyed the visit and enjoyed the man and felt he was a very humble and wonderful man, they could never reconcile and preach from the same pulpit. I've also been getting emails from people who talk about Mormon, high-powered Mormons in the local area showing up at Christian/evangelical/emergent churches and sitting in. And recently I told you the sad tale about Glenn Beck at Gateway Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, at the pulpit with the pastor there, giving his testimony about how he loved Jesus and how he loved the Mormon church. He gave a Mormon testimony, according to the young couple who wrote me. And the pastor stood up and put his arm around him, hugged him, I guess, and said, "Oh, it's so wonderful that we're brother Christians." They're not brother Christians. It's just not going to happen. And I have been quietly spending a great deal of time lately on unofficial Mormon websites, forums, blog sites, and communicating with so many Mormons under a false name, I have to admit, because if they knew that this was Ed Decker they were communicating with, I'm the hireling of Satan. I am the son of Satan. I am Satan. I am the demon's worst demon come to haunt the church in the last days. So it doesn't help for me to identify myself in that category. Well, I didn't go on these sites to argue or debate. I really wanted to listen. And the questions I would ask, the comments I would make would be designed to further study the subject that the people were debating or talking about at the time. What I found out was an astonishing thing. It just blew me away. But something that I was suspecting for a long time, the LDS brethren, the officials of the church, have been trying to align themselves, as I said, for some time with general Christianity. And what they have done is that they have begun to dig through what the differences are. And I guess it was never clearer to me than as I began to read all the articles coming out about Mitt Romney as he prepared to make a run for the presidency. And I guess when Glenn Beck gathered up groups of Christian leaders and put on as "We Are All One" party at the Lincoln Memorial in the National Mall, I knew that we were in for trouble as we try to explain the differences between Mormonism and Christianity. And Mormonism really can never align itself with Orthodoxy because Orthodoxy believes in one God and only one God, and Mormonism believes that we all could become gods. And what the Mormons are saying in their blogs and their Facebook pages is that most of them generally pick and choose what they want to be the focus of their religious experience in the Mormon Church. They just junk and toss out parts that make them uncomfortable. Many Mormons have no expectation of becoming a god. They don't believe it. They just pick a la carte what they want to believe. And so what has happened in the Mormon Church is that the Mormon Church will not preach or teach from the pulpits the doctrines that separate it from Christianity anymore. They preach a happy Jesus. They preach a happy life. They preach a happy family. And they really don't get into the details of God having been once a man and men becoming gods. The preaching is a set of feel-good, happy messages meant to make the members in their families happy and walk out of there smiling when they leave. Now, the crazy thing is that's what's happening in the emergent and the seeker-friendly churches in Christianity. They don't want to deal with sin. They don't want to deal with the meat of the gospel. They want to bring the milk and the happy pills to the congregations, and the congregations love it. And so what's happening is that the Mormons are finding themselves comfortable in evangelical slash emergent slash seeker-friendly churches, and members of those churches who go to Mormon churches or sit down with Mormons, they're finding out that they can get along just fine there. So when a church like the Mormon Church with cultic doctrine can blend with a Christian church and fellowship with them in forms of worship, you have now muddied up the line so much that nobody can make a difference. You can't decide. You can't look at it and say, hey, gosh, something's not right here. Well, something's not right in both places. When you go to a Mormon church and you take communion and you drink water, sacrament, and Wonder Bread, you know, the emergent church people don't know any difference. They don't understand what that communion is all about. In many churches, in the seeker-friendly churches, there's no preparation for the communion, if there is a communion, and there's no understanding of what taking the communion unworthily means according to biblical doctrine, and they just kind of do it, and the kids do it, and everybody does it, and there's no, are you saved or are you not saved? It didn't matter. You just, you know, have a little sip of this. And what's happening, again, is the loss of the power of the gospel, and we've become a social organization in Christianity, and the Mormons are becoming a social organization, and they're bringing the edges of each of the philosophies, I would call it, together to the point that they're overlapping today, and we're getting into dangerous times when you can go to a Christian church and not hear the real gospel. When I come back, we're going to be talking to Carol Matriciana.
Ed Decker is co-author with Dr. Ron Carlson, the best-selling book, Fast Facts on False Teachings. This book shares the secrets and the facts that are challenging biblical faith. It exposes the Mormon belief that man is an eternal progression of works to evolve and become gods. You'll learn about worldwide Islam and their plans to enforce Sharia law in America. Fast Facts on False Teachings looks behind the facades of cults, evolution, and humanism, and it gives you the facts. This book will give you the confidence to stand for your faith and unchanging biblical truths. You need this book, and it is available to you today at a special low price by calling toll-free 800-861-9888. When you order Fast Facts on False Teachings, Ed will also send you one of his special booklets from the Dynamic Dialogue series of the Decker Report, absolutely free. Call now, 800-861-9888. For Fast Facts on False Teaching, Ed's special gift to you. You can also find us on the web at DeckerReport.com. That's DeckerReport.com. And while you're there, check out all the other biblical-based resources that are available to you.
Well, we're back, and as promised, I have Carol Matriciana from CarolProductions.com on the line. And Carol, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Ed. It's such a pleasure being with you, and congratulations on your new direction in a new media. Good for you.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because you're my first talking guest, and it's brand new stuff, and I'm looking at the desk here piled up with equipment. I don't know what any of it is, and you have the honor, you have the privilege, or the very difficult burden of being my first guest. And Carol, I've known Carol for, we figure it out, about 30 years, Carol.
I know. You knew me when I was just a kid, a babe in diapers.
Almost a babe in diapers. But you were born in Calcutta, weren't you?
And I was born in India, yes.
You were born in India. And
I was raised in Calcutta, India, for 20 years of my life.
And then you just became one of the leading experts in England and all through Europe on the cults and the occult and paganism and all the contemporary stuff that was going on. And we got blessed to have you move to America about 32 years ago, and you've been here ever since and doing the same stuff. Carol and I worked together on the book on Godmakers 2. I actually, when you were doing a lot of the filming at Jeremiah Films, we did a lot of stuff together. I spent a lot of time down there, and in fact, I remember one time I was doing the fill-in talking head for one of the movies, one of the videos at that time, and it was like a sudden thing, and I had a laugh. I still laugh about it because I had like swim shorts on with a shirt, tie, and a jacket sitting in a hot room somewhere while I was being videotaped. I just said, do it from the waist up. Don't do it from the waist down because it's all knobby knees down there.
I know. Those were the days. And you know what? I thank God for, Ed, that we're still in the good fight. This is a good fight. And nothing new is under the sun. I mean, we are just watching the same things that we were alerting people about in those days, except that, like birth pangs, the strength of it, the aggression of this new age, this new emerging church, is becoming closer and closer, like birth pangs, more aggressive, and it's now all in your face. I mean, when we started 30-odd years ago, we were talking about the new age, which was in those days recognized as Eastern mysticism, in the fringes of the church. I mean, it would sort of weigh out people that we didn't consider actual evangelical Christians.
Well, I remember in the little town that I lived in, David Spangler. Do you remember that guy?
Yes.
Anyway, he was sort of like some nutcase, you know. I mean, and there was a little tea house in a little strip mall in our community, and he would sit there two or three times a week and sip tea, and all those little Twinkies would gather around him and just blink adoring eyes at him and sip their little herbal teas with him as he pontificated.
But the incredible thing, Ed, is that these sort of way-out fringe people have now become mainline. They're actually listened to and recognized by the press and have such a voice. I mean, you know, there was a time when even Mormonism we thought was more fringy than it is today, but here the very doctrine of Mormonism that man can become a god is right here in our faces within evangelical Christianity, and that's why I made this film, Wide is the Gate, the Emerging New Christianity, because it's actually right inside our evangelical ranks now.
Well, not only that, but it's in our face in the media, and of course, Glenn Beck did a lot to move that into the media with his mall gathering of bringing in a lot of Christian pastors, and then going to Israel with John Hagee and Mike Evans and a bunch of other people who were just thrilled to be there with their Christian brother, and they had either they are total charlatans or they are the stupidest people in the world who claim to be Christian and understand Christian theology, because obviously when I was in Israel, the great cry, and I was dealing a lot with Orthodox rabbis and the Orthodox media. I spoke at the Knesset several times explaining to them the doctrines of Mormonism, and they were outraged at the thought that the Mormons believe that there are many gods and they could become gods. That was the most heinous crime, sin, and we had a huge gathering of rabbis at the Western Wall protesting the evil Mormons, and now the Mormons are just kind of all over Israel, as they are everywhere else.
Exactly. And the whole concept of becoming God is now within Christianity. I mean, the idea of yoga, practicing yoga, which when I was growing up in India, yoga was synonymous with Hinduism. There was no Hinduism without yoga, no yoga without Hinduism. And the whole concept of that discipline is to get into an altered state of consciousness so that you can go within, awaken the snake power or the kundalini within you to rise up through your psychic energies or chakras up your spine, eventually get to the third eye to impress you in an altered state of consciousness that you are an enlightened being, divinity, God itself. And here we have people in the new emerging Christianity practicing yoga within their sanctuaries. I mean, even people like Doug Padgett, who is a spokesperson, a leader of the emergent church, whose wife practices, who is a teacher of yoga, and these people have yoga in their sanctuaries and are very, very blatant about expanding the meaning of Christianity. It's no longer biblical Christianity. It's no longer based on the Word of God. It's no longer based on absolute truth and the character of God. But like Erwin McManus, who is the author of The Barbarian Way, he's a New Ager. Well, of course, nowadays they don't call them New Agers. They call them emergent church leaders. But he says, my goal is to destroy Christianity as a world religion and be a re-catalyst for the movement of Jesus Christ. Some people are upset with me because it sounds like I'm anti-Christian. I think they might be right. Well, what's happened in this little concept is it's not only redefining Christianity, they're redefining Jesus so that we can now embrace the Mormon Jesus, the Hindu Jesus, the Muslim Isa, who Rick Warren prayed at the inauguration of Obama to Jesus, and Isa, who is the Jesus of the Quran, who is not the Jesus of the Bible. So what we're getting is this emerging apostasy, this new Christianity, embracing a new idea, a new Jesus, a new gospel, a new spirit, going right back to what Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, I fear for you lest your mind be seduced as Satan seduced the mind of Eve, and you embrace a new gospel, a new Jesus, and a new new Jesus, a new gospel, and a what was the third one? Sorry, my phone just went off there. A new Jesus, a new gospel.
I was wondering if we were just going to a break right there. I said, I don't recognize, Tim, I don't recognize that music.
No, it's
throw that thing in the sink or something.
There it goes. It's finished. It's in the...
That's what happens to my wife usually at every church service. I tell her to turn her phone off, and then just about the time the pastor gets to a very specific point, her phone goes off. So we forgive you on that.
Well,
I'm used to it.
I completely forgot to turn it down because you didn't give me that instruction. You see, I'm very good at obeying you. But
my goodness gracious. Well, folks, that just shows you how well we do things, but we live with it. You know, Carol, I wanted to talk about, I talked about the emergent Mormon church and what I see in the blogs and the forums and the Facebook pages of many Mormons now. They've become a cafeteria faith, and many Mormons, they throw some things away and take other things that they like. And I was trying to dig down to what it is that's the common thing. All the Mormons, and they've been trained that way, are interested in experience over reason. I mean, I was always looking for the burning in the bosom, because the Mormon scriptures say that you'll know the truth by a burning in your bosom. That'll prove that it's what we're saying, the Book of Mormon is true or whatever. And so they look for experience over reason. They look for images over words today. Really, spirituality over doctrine. If it's a feel good, I feel good about this, I feel so happy about this, I'm not worrying about the doctrine. And the subjective feeling always in Mormonism over truth. And salvation is they don't know about salvation until this life is all gone. So they're really experiencing the world thing, family, home, evening, and pies and cakes and casseroles kind of life that they live. How does that relate to the emergent church?
Well, experience is a very, very important part of the whole one world new religion. And this is the new Christianity, that it's experience over doctrine. And, of course, me being raised as a Roman Catholic, not only did I grow up in India and so was very, very familiar with Hinduism and Islam and Baha'i, Jainism, all the various different faiths, but I was also raised a very devout Roman Catholic. And interestingly, that our teaching is very similar to the Mormon one in the Catechism, which is, by the way, one of the sort of holy elected teachings, if you will, of the Roman Catholic Church. We learnt the Son of Man became man so that we might become God. The only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he, made man, might make men gods. That's what we learnt in our Roman Catholic Catechism. That then gave me the experience within Roman Catholicism that I could actually sort of experience the presence of God in the Eucharist when I walked into my Roman Catholic Church, when I did my signs of the cross, when I washed myself, bathed myself, cleansed myself with the holy water, or whatever. So experience was very, very important within Roman Catholicism. And that idea then took me into the New Age and the occult, where I became a westernized Hindu. But the point here is that experience was much, much more important than anything. And now, as the evangelical church, as the new emerging Christianity, is merging with Roman Catholicism, we're going back to mysticism, Western mysticism, not necessarily Eastern, but the two verge together, because the idea is that we can become gods. If we can just experience this, go within ourselves, whether it's through yoga or whether it's through practicing the presence, which we get with Beth Moore, John Piper, all these people that sound very orthodox, conservative evangelicals, who now, last week, a week before, Beth Moore and John Piper were involved in Lectio Divina, which is part of Roman Catholicism contemplative spirituality. So this idea of experience-driven, whether it's in market-driven, purpose-driven churches, seeker-friendly churches, the emergent church, Mormonism, Hinduism, Islam, it's all about signs and wonders.
Well, you know, you answered a question I wasn't even asking. I don't mean that wrongly. I had an experience last fall where I performed a wedding for some people, a young couple. Her family were from Croatia, very strong Catholics, and they were beside themselves. Their daughter was dead, being wedded to a non-Catholic and being married by a pastor who wasn't a Catholic priest. As things worked out, they picked a place for their wedding, and it happened to be a Catholic cathedral, small cathedral, in a nun's college or whatever they call it. And this was a beautiful little small, well, it wasn't that small, but it was a chapel, and it could hold about 500 or 600 people, and it was as ornate as anything in Europe. Huge ceilings, you know, the arched ceilings, and it had the apses with the Virgin Mary, and it had the Catholic altars, and everything was Catholic in that place. And the mother and the father, who were so upset about the wedding and being married by a non-Catholic priest, when they walked into that chapel, and I have to say I was uncomfortable in it because of all the icons and everything else in the building, they stepped into a place of peace. And nothing was really said until later on when I told them, you know, that they needed to get their act together, that their daughter was married and they were married in a Catholic chapel, and that seals it, you know, and everything went away, all the stress went away. And I was convinced, I was talking to my wife about it after the service, and I said, something changed in there. They walked into that Catholic chapel, that Catholic cathedral, whatever you want to call it, and they felt completely at peace. And the thing that it was wasn't the logic or the doctrine. It was the experience and the subjective feeling, the warmth that flooded them because they walked into a place they were familiar with from Europe.
Yeah, well, exactly. You see, it's these familiar spirits of mysticism that speak over the word of God. And the big divide in the emerging new Christianity is that those of us that want to stick closely with the word of God as absolute truth are called fundamentalist or too narrow, because the new Christianity wants to embrace this experience.
Well, where do we go from here? I mean, we see it not only in churches down the street, but we're seeing it creep into our own churches now.
So, well, yes, and then we've got leaders who call themselves evangelicals, Ed, like Tony Campello. One of his statements is, in my case, intimacy with Christ has developed gradually over the years, primarily through what Catholic mystics call centering prayer. Each morning, as soon as I wake up, this is what Tony Campello says, I take time, sometimes as much as half an hour, to center myself on Jesus. I say his name over and over again to drive back the 101 things that have begun to chatter in my mind. The minute I open my eyes, Jesus is my mantra, as some would say. Now, listen to the combination. Tony Campello, supposedly evangelical Christian, has just gone into Eastern mystical yoga prayer of repeating the name of a deity within Hinduism, but he's using that name, in supposedly a Christian name, to conjure up the picture of Jesus. Well, we are not allowed to make idols with our hands. We're not allowed to make idols of wood, of metal, and we are not allowed to conjure mental images and make an idol in our mind, which is visualization, which is the new mystical God and feeling that the mystics are raising up, so that my image of Jesus that I have conjured in my mind gives me a feeling of peace and an experience. And so now I've moved from faith in the Bible, where Jesus told me he'd never leave me, and I base my faith on that, on the word of God and the promise of God, now versus a feeling and a mystical experience that through half an hour of saying his name over and over and over again, I can have peace. Well, this is what Roman Catholicism is all about. I mean, this contemplative prayer, saying the rosary, saying prayer beads, walking the labyrinth, which was what I did as a Roman Catholic, walking the stations of the cross for my indulgences. When I had sinned, I had to do all these prayers. Well, all of this, the very faith I gave up to come to the Bible-based Christianity, based on the promises and the absolute word of God, have now become overshadowed by experience-driven faith.
You know, it's happening in a lot of areas, and one of the areas I see, you know, and I'm guilty of it as well. When I got saved, however you want to call it, I gave my life to the Lord, came out of darkness into light in the first Sunday night of January of 1975. In the 10 years following that, I went through three or four Bibles. They literally fell apart from my use. My notes that I've written there, I keep for my kid, my grandkids and my great-grandkids, that they can someday go back in and read what Grandpa wrote in all throughout his early Bibles. Today, before I can get to my Bible verse that the pastor at any church is speaking about, it's flashed up in 78-point font on a screen down the front of the church, and you can get that quicker by just sitting there and watching the screen. You can't get to the scriptures fast enough today to actually use your Bible in a church setting. People aren't bringing their Bibles to church anymore because the new media, the new electronics has now replaced that Bible. And I've seen people, even my home church, who have iPads or have little cell phone thingies, and they're following the thing. They just punch it in, and they don't have a physical Bible. It comes up on a screen in their hand. We've lost the feeling of it.
Oh, exactly, Ed. And I, the danger of that is that they don't even know the continuity of the books. They don't know what the Old Testament and New Testament, because they're not familiar with working through the parchment or the printed word. And, you know, the electron. In fact, I give a Bible study, and there were kids coming with their iPods, and I said, no, let's just stick with the written word, even if it takes us time. Let's bring in a familiarity with God and his word and where the chapters are and the chronology of how he has spoken to us versus all this sort of quick, instant, if you will, you know, the instant which just loses some of the pondering. I love the way that when Mary saw the things, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary the Virgin, the Lord, the Holy Spirit used her womb to give birth to Jesus. When she saw these things, when people came to her and spoke to her about Jesus, whether it was in the temple when they were taking him for his, at 8 days old into the temple, when the prophetess and the people, the old elderly gentleman and elderly Anna, who did not want to die before they'd seen the Messiah. And Mary pondered these things in her heart. And we have time then, if we read the Word of God, to ponder the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Well,
but this new idea of visualizing, or they take that scripture, be still and know that I'm Lord, to justify centering prayer, to justify being quiet. Well, the moment that you're quiet and close your eyes, you start relying on imagination, on visualization. These are occult techniques that never in the Bible is the use of imagination a good thing.
I remember years ago when I would go out and speak on Freemasonry, and I would have a prayer, and I would say, you know, I don't want you to close your eyes like some would ask you to. I don't want you to bow your head, you know, and go into that secret place. I want you to open your eyes, look at me, you know, don't bow your head. I want you to be fully awake with what we're doing here when we, you know, we pray and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins of being involved in Freemasonry. And I usually had huge responses because people, I'd make eye contact through the audience. We're going to take a break right now, and when I come back, Carol and I will be continuing along in this discussion, and we want to talk about your new video movie, How Wide the Gate, I guess it's called Part 2, when we come back.
The Decker Report is your source for biblically based information and facts on the attacks being made on Christianity in America. During each program, Ed answers questions from the listeners. Do you have a question, comment, or prayer request that you would like him to address on the Decker Report? Ed would love to hear from you and would appreciate your involvement in the program. Please send your questions to ed@deckerreport.com. Make sure that you leave your name so that he will be able to address your email.
Well, Carol, we're back, and I threw a little teaser out there. I really want you to talk a little bit about this new project. Well, it's not new because you did Part 1. And tell us a little bit about how Wide the Gate and why you wrote it and what you did about it and why you're filming it. I watched the trailer for both the first section and the second section. It's some pretty powerful stuff with an awful lot of people involved, sharp people giving some good words.
Yeah, well, Ed, over the last 10 years, I've had so many emails from people just not understanding what the emergent church is. What is this thing that's emerging? And the slippery thing about the new Christianity is because it is emerging, it's rather like evolution. You can't put your finger on it because it's changing. That's what emerging means. That's what evolving means. So this new Christianity is a process of bringing in what the Bible told us would happen, the one world new global religion. But in order to bring it in, we've got to embrace all faiths as equal. So I was getting a lot of emails by Christians saying that there's new books and new things coming into their church. If it's, you know, what you and I just talked about, the multimedia, whether it's PowerPoints or new types of music. And what is it? Well, it's not music alone. It's not PowerPoints alone. It's because the church is being conditioned to have a new feeling, to make mystical experiences greater than the actual Word of God. So the church is being taken, in a sense, back to Rome, to Western mysticism, the idea of embracing that all roads, all religions are one. We often see the Pope, we've seen it for the last 20 years, two decades, where the Pope will have these big meetings with people of all faiths, and now we see Rick Warren, evangelical pastor called America's Pastor, Time magazine says he has this amount of influence, he has 28,000 people in his congregation. He has 40,000 satellite churches. And he's moving all his pastors into this purpose-driven movement in order to bring in a new reformation, a new religion, to embrace all religions, work with people of all religions. So that's basically why I made Wide is the Gate, the Emerging New Christianity. And that was volume one of a five-part series. And in that one, we explain what the counterfeit church is, what is this emergent church, and then what is biblical Christianity. See, in order for us to be able to see the counterfeit, we have to know the real thing. And what are the doctrines within the within biblical Christianity that we absolutely cannot separate ourselves from? One is the cross, and one is the Trinity. Well, the new emerging church says that the cross is false advertising, that we don't need this horrible God that put his own son to death, and this God of judgment. We have to have a God of love, the universal God of the shack. Mm-hmm. So that's what we talk about in Volume 1, the evolving New Age in the 60s when I was involved in the New Age. We knew it as Eastern mysticism. We understood it came from India, but now Eastern mysticism has come in with evangelical evangelical leaders saying that it's okay to be involved in yoga-type prayer, in meditative contemplation, in looking within yourself, in finding God in you. All of that is Eastern mysticism. So I explain all that in Volume 1. And the impact of the New Age in media with people like Oprah Winfrey, who calls herself a Christian, and yet has been able to be so eclectic with bringing in Eastern mysticism. She says that we mustn't stick to Christ as a person, that Christ is a consciousness that we all have to absorb ourselves into and for us to realize our divinity. Well, of course, that's the message of Mormonism, of Hinduism, of now the new emerging church where, that we have to realize that we're not sinners, we're actually divine children of God. Well, Volume 2, which is coming out just in a couple of months, and we're even going to have a Volume 3 by the end of the year, is talking about the history of the church and how did all of this begin and when did Roman Catholicism come in to blend this kind of Gnostic mysticism, the idea of practicing the presence, which goes back to the 3rd century. Most people think that the Roman Catholic Church began right at the beginning. No. Pentecost was at the beginning, and that's what we have to go back to. But what the emerging church is telling us to go back to is the Desert Fathers, and the Desert Fathers were Roman Catholics, and they were the ones that introduced the Roman Catholic mysticism of
which comes right back to the Essenes and the mystical apron wearers going back into Babylon.
Ed Decker is co-author with Dr. Ron Carlson the best-selling book, Fast Facts on False Teachings. This book shares the secrets and the facts that are challenging biblical faith. It exposes the Mormon belief that man is an eternal progression of works to evolve and become God. You'll learn about worldwide Islam and their plans to enforce Sharia law in America. Fast Facts on False Teachings looks behind the facades of cults, evolution, and humanism, and it gives you the facts. This book will give you the confidence to stand for your faith and unchanging biblical truths. You need this book, and it is available to you today at a special low price by calling toll-free 800-861-9888. When you order Fast Facts on False Teachings, Ed will also send you one of his special booklets from the Dynamic Dialogue series of the Decker Report, absolutely free. Call now, 800-861-9888. For Fast Facts on False Teaching, Ed's special gift to you. You can also find us on the web at DeckerReport.com. That's DeckerReport.com. And while you're there, check out all the other biblical-based resources that are available to you.
You said earlier in the program that there are no new mysteries, there's no new games. The same lie that Satan was kicking around in the Garden of Eden, it's the same stuff that the Mormons today and the mystical churches, the music, all of it, it's all tied to going right back to the same old story. I want to make one comment about the Catholic Church, and that the back in January, the Pope came out and said that all other churches are false. There is no salvation outside the Catholic Church, and that he alone speaks through the power of God. He's God's mouthpiece on earth. He clearly made a very strong statement, which surprised me, where he came out and just defined Catholicism as the only true faith. And when after you answer that, I want to ask you a question about some music.
Honestly, Ed, as a very devout Catholic for the first 20 years of my life, as I said earlier in the show, not only did we believe that we were gods, that Jesus had become man so that we might become God, but we truly believed that salvation was through our birth in the Roman Catholic Church, and that even though we knew that the church, the Mother Church, she was called, which of course is a pagan idea, a pagan concept, that once again we're getting back to femininity and Mother Goddess and Mother Earth and all of these concepts, that it's the matriarchal, feminist side, the mystical side, the mystery of Babylon, which is much more important than the patriarchal God of the Word who sent his only begotten Son. The Word became flesh and he dwelt amongst us so that he could teach us what was in the Scriptures, what was in the Word of God. And that's what we've got to get back to, cognitive, loving the Lord our God with all our mind, and not back to having salvation through membership, if you will, in a church. And of course, the Roman Catholic eschatology is that Jesus Christ cannot return to the world unless the whole world becomes Roman Catholic under the leadership of the Pope.
Well, that's pretty much Islam right there.
Exactly, and that's also a lot of other religions. I mean, we understand that even Mormonism wants to bring in dominion now theology, that, you know, we can make the earth a better place, whether it's through government, whether it's through our own conditioning, whether it's through getting rid of poverty and alleviating stress through Rick Warren's peace plan. Whatever it is, we are to bring the kingdom of God on earth, and that Jesus can't return until we've cleaned everything up. Well, that is clearly not biblical. And within the Roman Catholic Church, I have to tell you, Ed, that for the first 20 years of my life, I never did read the Bible because, I mean, in the personal way that I do today.
Well, I grew up as an Episcopalian, and I knew the prayer book, and I was a very good at lighting candles as an acolyte, but I certainly did know the Word of God because it wasn't part of the service at any, you know, and there were not programs to train up us. I mean, we knew the Bible, little Bible stories, you know, about Moses and the you know, and the basket in the water and things like that when we were babies, we were little kids, but we never got the Word of God. We never dealt with the doctrine of God. The thing that I wanted to talk... Go ahead.
Well, that was the only thing that Jesus told us to do, is to make disciples and to teach people what he had taught, you know, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Immediately there, we've got the Trinity. The new emerging church says that there's no such thing as the Trinity, because Islam doesn't believe in a Trinity, and various other faiths don't, Hinduism doesn't. So the new emerging Christianity has to take out what the majority faiths believe, and they do not believe in the absolute truth of the Word of God. And of course, we go right back to the Garden of Eden, where the very first thing that Satan said to Eve is, "Hath God said?" He immediately attacked the Word of God there, and got Eve to go through an experience that she saw the fruit was good to eat, get her out of the authority of the Word of God into seeing something experientially and thinking that she could have new wisdom, which is exactly what the emerging new Christianity.
Absolutely. Well, I notice lately when I travel around to different churches that not only are the Bibles missing, but also the hymnals. And after singing, "Yes, I love you, Jesus." I mean, I'm not saying this because I really do love Jesus, but "Yes, I love you, Jesus. Yes, I love you, Jesus. Yes, I love you, Jesus." You know, 78 times. I've lost count sometimes of the two-line little ditties that we do, you know, to the music during the worship time.
Well, that again goes back to mysticism, Ed, where we had the Tony Campello quote that he closes his eyes and he repeats again and again, Jesus is my mantra. It's the repetition in an altered state of consciousness, going into your experience, experiencing the repetitiveness of words to music that gets you into a feeling, into an emotion. And we're not going to the Word of God, the character of God. We're not meditating on his faithfulness, that he is the lifter of our heads, that he's our bulwark, all the promises that are written in the Word of God, because that's a faith based on promises.
Yeah, but many of those little, what do you want to call, what do you call those, these things that you do repetitively?
It's called a mantra.
Well, not in the not on the face of it in the normal Christian church, but what I'm saying is that we say those things. I mean, there's some beautiful stuff that I hear, you know, in these things, but they take, you know, maybe 10 lines of beautiful thoughts into a chorus, put to some music, and then they just repeat it over and over and over again. And I know there are times when I'm in that kind of situation, and I'm trying to focus on the Lord and his holiness. And, you know, you got to realize that I for a number of years have been involved in an independent church that has some Nazarene background. So I'm kind of into, you know, making myself conform to the new creature in Christ I'm supposed to be, you know, a holiness attitude in my life. And I can be in that kind of environment, kind of ignore the repetitiveness of it, but I can kind of get into a place of worship myself during those times. But if I look around me, there are people, and you know, and I'm talking about thousands of people in the congregation, thousands, in small churches as well. But I mean, in particularly in the very, very large, there's an aura, if I can possibly use a word that probably came out of the New Age. There's an aura about the whole congregation in those environments, and this is, I think, a part of this getting away from the reality and the physicalness of the Word of God, the doctrine of God, and getting into the subjective feelings. And this is where the whole wave is coming across the Christian congregations, whether they even would call themselves emergents or not. It's
no,
happening.
They don't even understand that what's happening is it's a systemized way of taking you into a trance so that you're leaning on subjective feelings opposed to objective truth. So the reality becomes a reality. Now, there's a difference between truth and reality. Reality is a perceived feeling, but truth is a moral person. Truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is based in a moral situation and a whole different concept. Now, reality, there are facts, two and two. There's mathematical realities, two and two make four. There's realities of physics, where if you stand on a tall building and fall down, you know, gravity is going to take you down. Those are realities. Those are facts. But when you start talking about truth, you have to get back through the Holy Spirit into the concept that God is truth, God is a person, truth is a person, and that's where Jesus gave his life for us to be reconciled with a spiritual truth versus a carnal reality, which is where Satan and this whole new Antichrist spirit and this whole new emerging spirit is taking us into making us believe that what our flesh feels, this carnal reality, is truth, and it really isn't. It's subjective mysticism and an experience versus cognitive.
Amen. Well, Carol, I want to be sure that all of our listeners get a hold of your website right now and spend a little time talking about what you have available on your website. I have www.caroltv, and your Carol is spelled C-A-R-Y-L, caroltv.com. Is that the one to go to?
Absolutely. And in that, there are many, many of our latest DVDs on Islam, Islam Rising, in Yoga Uncoiled, Wide is the Gate, the Emerging New Christianity, all sorts of supernatural powers, Harry Potter, Witchcraft Repackaged, mm-hmm. All those DVDs are there with previews. So, yep, they can just go to www.caroltv.com.
And I want to encourage our listeners to go to that website, caroltv.com, and that's C Carol, Carol, caroltv.com, and go to the trailers that you have on there. They can spend an hour in there just listening to some fantastic teaching that you've got ready for. You've done a great work in there, and it's been going on. I probably would say you've got 50, 60, 70, 80 documentaries that you've been involved in over these years.
Yep, over 75 documentaries in my filmmaking career. Absolutely. It's been a joy from the Lord, a gift from the Lord. And today, Ed, is just such a pleasure to be back with you and see your new ministry here. And God bless you as you press forward with this. And well done, you.
Well, thank you for the compliment, and I will send a check right away if I had any money. Which reminds my listeners, if you just feel like sending in a donation, give a call to our 800 number, 861-9888, and we'd sure be happy for any kind of a gift. Carol, what are we going to do? I mean, what do you and I do? I know what we're doing. We're out there telling the world, but a lot of our listeners are in churches, and they're seeing some of these things creep in. You know, I got an email the other day from a lady who says, my pastor said, we don't believe in things like yoga, but we're having Pilates, whatever that is.
Yeah. And this is what, you know, I get most of my emails that I get, Ed, are about people now waking up. The remnant is seeing that their church is becoming apostate or introducing false teachings, and they don't know what to do. And, you know, I encourage each person to just go to the Lord, seek the Lord, see if what the Lord would have you do, because if a lot of the people that have come to me are now beginning to show our movies. I link people to pages like yours and other ministries that they can go. They can become educated. They can become discipled through really, really good teaching of good ministries out there that give them the solid Word of God and stand on the Word of God, know, contend for the faith, test everything. Today, the New Emergent Church are telling people not to test anything, but the Scriptures tell us to test everything against the Word of God. So that's what I encourage people to draw back into the Word of God, test everything, and then go to ministries like ours to learn. Because, you know, we've been the watchman for a long, long time. We're the old guard.
Well, we're still up there, and my spear is rusty. Maybe that's from living in northwest Seattle area for too long. And I just think we've just got to make a stand. And I think one of the areas, too, Carol, my wife is also Carol, but she spells her name with an O, not a Y. And Carol and I are going through a 1 year through the Bible program right now. We get busy, and family and other things come up, and we miss a day. And then we've got to sit down and get serious and do 2 days. And we're finding it very refreshing, particularly some of the Old Testament stories that I've long forgotten. You know, they've gone out of my mind, and I begin to see some of these things. I just am amazed at things I'm relearning at my age after how many times have I gone through the Bible, and I'm still learning things from it. We've got to get the Word of God in us, and all these movements, all the easy fixes with the Scriptures on the screen and 16 different translations, which I'm not going to get into today, all the different things that are going on, that these things have taken us away, and particularly we've become a visual people. We've becoming a eye-gate people now, and we've got our cell phones that have everything on there that we need in the world. It still isn't cooking meals for you, but I think it will soon. So we've got all these things going.
My goal to distract us and take us away from the Word of God, because that's really our true food. That's the bread of life. And
that's what I'm getting at, is that we've got to, as a people, we've got to get back to the manual. We've got to get back to the Word of God, because what has happened is that all these things that have come in to make life easier for us and for the pastors and for the teachers in the Christian congregations, we've lost that connection with the Word ingrained in us. He says, get the Word in you. You know, the Word should be in you.
Yeah, abide in me. Jesus said, abide in me as I abide in the Father, and that's our only solution. And I think one of the horrible things is all these different Bible translations, and what people call Bible actually address this in Volume 1, that some of these are not Bibles, they're paraphrases. So you get Eugene Peterson's The Message, that's a paraphrase, that's not the Bible, that's not Thus Says the Lord, it's just Eugene Peterson's opinion about what God is saying. So they become very, very distracting for us and take us away from the real spirit of the word. And that's of course, Satan's complete intention to take us away from an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, Carol, it's been great talking to you. We're running out of time right now, and I just we're going to have to do this again as soon as I learn how to do it.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you. I look forward to that very, very much.
I just want to say one last thing, and all the things we've discussed is that today, the Jesus of Mormonism and the Jesus of the of Islam and the Jesus of all the other groups out there, the definitions and the good feelings about Jesus and the politically correct world that we're in today, they've all melded together so that the Mitt Romneys of the world can sit there with the David Bartons and talk about how they're both saved.
Yes, exactly. And
both agree.
Paul said, we embrace a different Jesus, a different spirit, and a different gospel so beautifully. And that's, of course, the lie of the new emerging Christianity.
Well, God bless you. See you soon.
Thank you, Ed. Bye-bye.
Ed Decker is co-author with Dr. Ron Carlson, the best-selling book, Fast Facts on False Teachings. This book shares the secrets and the facts that are challenging biblical faith. It exposes the Mormon belief that man is an eternal progression of works to evolve and become gods. You'll learn about worldwide Islam and their plans to enforce Sharia law in America. Fast Facts on False Teachings looks behind the facades of cults, evolution, and humanism, and it gives you the facts. This book will give you the confidence to stand for your faith and unchanging biblical truths. You need this book, and it is available to you today at a special low price by calling toll-free 800-861-9888. When you order Fast Facts on False Teachings, Ed will also send you one of his special booklets from the Dynamic Dialogue series of the Decker Report, absolutely free. Call now, 800-861-9888. For Fast Facts on False Teaching, Ed's special gift to you. You can also find us on the web at DeckerReport.com. That's DeckerReport.com. And while you're there, check out all the other biblical-based resources that are available to you.
Well, we're back, and I just thank Carol Matriciana from Carol Productions for being our guest today. She's phenomenal. I've known Carol for over 30 years. She's dynamic. She's probably one of the best-known experts on the ancient and modern world religions, the contemporary cults, paganism, and the occult. Best-selling author. She's got a great website, www.caroltv.com, and the Carol is spelled with a Y. And while you're at it and looking for a website, come by and visit ours. If you feel like helping us out financially, give us a call at our 800 number and give us a gift. We'd sure love a gift of any size. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to the Decker Report. Remember, you can ask questions or make comments to ed@deckerreport.com. Don't forget your copy of the best-selling book, Fast Facts on False Teachings, the book that shares the secrets and the facts that are challenging biblical faith in America. Fast Facts on False Teachings is available at DeckerReport.com or by calling 800-861-9888. The number is toll-free, so you can call now, 800-861-9888. The Decker Report is brought to you by Saints Alive Ministries.